Thanks, Lydia. Okay, good. So she now got on recording. What I wanted to go over today was the Passion Test. It's a book that was written by Janet and Chris Atwood, and it was brought up on a number of calls. Sona Vanderhoof talked about it, Al Balev talked about it, and Bo Shorts talked about it. So I thought when I heard it over and over again, I said, you know what, I got to find this book and read this book because it sounds like it's having a major impact on and people have really gotten excited about it. And so I secured the book and I've read through it, and I honestly can tell you I haven't even finished it. On my iPad, it was 700 some pages, and I was like, oh my gosh. But I did get through half of it, so I called this one part one, and there was no way I was going to put another, you know, 12 pages together as part of your outline for this morning. So I decided, well, what we're going to do is we will definitely go through the process of doing half of it this week. If you really enjoy what you're seeing, and I'll talk to you about what the closing chapters are, I can do the other half next week. But I think the importance is the first half of it will give you all that you need to know in terms of taking the Passion Test. So if you're interested in the book, you can surely secure it yourself. If you're interested in doing the Passion Test for yourself, I highly suggest you start on it today. It's a great little test, and it can really support you moving forward. Some of you on the call today have been struggling perhaps with your why, and I want to talk a little bit about that as well, because the why, Lydia's left the office, so we're going to hear some ringing in the background. The why is the most important thing in this business is determining that why, because if you don't have your why, you'll never have the way. You'll never get there. You'll never create the results in your life that you want, because the why, or you might, you know, I've seen people that didn't have their why. They on brute energy, just made it to a certain point in Manatech, but within a few months or a year or so after they hit presidential, they disqualified. They just lost everything because They didn't hit the purpose. They weren't going out there after. They didn't have the clarity in their life about why they were producing this result in their life. And if you don't have the clarity, you know, things will dissipate. Pure energy can sometimes get you places, and some of you can recognize this in your life patterns. But if you get yourself places, you're not going to know why you're there or what your greatest motivation is or what your passion is. So you're not going to stay there, or it's going to fall back, or things will fall apart on you. You're directionally impaired, and that's never going to serve you. So what's crucial is that you really get the why in your life down with clarity. And the Passion Test is a great way of getting clarity around that, because it's not limited necessarily to one why, it's the big why, but it will give you a concept of what are the passions in your life that you need to be running your life, that need to be at the core of what you're doing, what your activities are, what your direction is, all of that because of the passion that's within you. And some of us on the call, I know I'm speaking for people because I do a lot of coaching out there, and I'm not just saying with around Manatech, but life coaching and spiritual coaching that I'm involved in through my foundation today. And there are just a tremendous amount of people that have given up on the word passion in and of itself because they're in a survival mode. And I just go, wow, you know, your focus is all wrong. And you know, I think that, you know, from a Christian perspective, obviously our passion is for Christ, right? But we have other passions as well. Not that they're as important as our passion for Christ, but it's really tough sometimes when you're trying to figure out how to put a loaf of bread on a table to feel too passionate about things. But every one of us has them. Every one of us. And it's so much fun for me to work with people to find their passions, because it's what lights that fire. It gives people hope. It drives them in a direction. It takes them out of their meaningless existence and puts them into a meaningful direction. It helps them stay out of the traps of depression and all the other negative emotions that are so profoundly evident today in our society as well, and we get trapped in them. And so it's this kind of approach here with this Passion Test is huge, and it's a way that you can make a marked difference, not just in your own life, but in help other people as well. So use it as a tool to not just for yourself, but for the people that you're leading, the people in your organization, your team members, And as our new language goes, your sustainable team. I love to use that terminology today, coming from Bo as well. So let's jump into the foreword of this. The foreword of the book talks about the number one reason people don't get what they want in life is they don't know what they want. And there's tremendous truth to that. It's an issue about clarity, right? And the passion test provides us clarity. And if we remember when we talked back about what was the name, our guy Tony Jiri, remember one of his main points was clarity. It's about having clarity. Clarity is critical to our success. It's critical to power. It gives you the power to act. It's achievement, fulfillment, and the happiness in life. It provides us. This passion test is what's going to give you all of that if you go through with it and determine it in your life and really get clarity around what your passion is about. What are you passionate about? And remember, you can't take on anyone else's. This is something that's unique to you because each and every one of us is created uniquely. And we all have a different set of values, a different set of priorities, a different set of wants and desires and fulfillment. And that's what we need to do is find them. So let's jump in and talk about the next chapter, which is really about the introduction. It's what is it? First of all, you need to know, why do I want to find my passion, right? What is it about passion? And how many of you know passionate people? If I asked you today on the call, I said, list, three people that you know have passion. Probably everyone involved in Manatech, we would all list at least Sam Castor, and we would list Jeff Allen, right? I mean, there's certain people out there that they just exude passion every moment. Some people have said that about me, and I feel passion a lot, but, I would list people like Sam, I would list Jeff Allen, I'd probably list Bo Short at this time. I mean, people have passion. They have passion. And what does it mean to live a passionate life? And when you look at these people, you find out these people they're exciting, they're energetic, they're thrilling, they're on fire, they're purposeful, they're turned on, they're motivated, they're entertaining. They seem to live this life at ease. In other words, it doesn't mean their life is easy. It just means that they have an easy time living their lives, right? They don't get trapped in difficulties. Like, we could look at Sam and we could say, man, he's been trapped a million times. The Texas AG's been all over his case more times you can take a stick at. And when you understand the path that he's been on, oh, my gosh. They're just roadblocks that have been put in his life. And he's moved forward in each and every one. And so it's not that it's been easy, but he has an easy time with it because he doesn't allow roadblocks and difficulties. And nothing stops him. They're unstoppable people. And so we all want to carry that kind of passion about what we're doing in our life. Janet puts forth these three concepts, intention, attention, no tension. And they're critically important. That's why I put them in bold in the outline. Intention is consciously stating what you choose to create in your life is the first step to manifesting it. So we have to be, this is where clarity comes in, right? If you don't know what you want to create in your life, you can't have the proper intention because you don't even know what it is. Again, this gets back to clarity. But intention is the first step. Declaring it is the first step in manifesting what you want in your life. So that's intention. Attention is the second step that you need to recognize. Giving attention to what you choose to create in your life, and then it will begin to show up. In other words, you can't have an intention to end global malnutrition. I'll just throw that out there. You can't have that intention and then not do anything about it, not focus on it, not go out and share and talk to 10 people a day or 5 people a day or whatever it is. Then you can say you have an intention, but the reality is your actions speak louder than what you say. You're not really committed to it, because you're not giving it the attention to make sure you create that in your life. The attention is what creates, that causes it to show up. And then there's a concept of no tension. When you're open to what is appearing in this moment, you allow God's will to move through you. So it's not about living in a world of should've, could've, would've. So many people do that. Well, this is the way things should be. Well, this is how things should be. Well, when you hold strong to those things, you hold strong to something that's not reality, and it prevents you from enjoying the fulfillment of living your destiny. So you want to make sure that you remove tension from your life. And some of us thrive on tension. Do you know people like that? Do you know people that go, oh, well, shoulda, woulda, coulda, if only this would have happened, if only that one guy would have signed up in my organization, if only the Texas AG case wouldn't have happened, if only we can live in this world of if onlys, only ifs, and shoulda, woulda, coulda, but the garbage around that creates tension with our directional. So, you know, people who live this passionate life are people that none of that enters their thought process. I mean, or if it does, it enters from on a moment-by-moment basis where we get rid of it. We don't allow those thoughts to creep in because they rob us of positive energy. They rob us of our ability to be creators in our own life because we create our lives. We are all creators of our lives. We create the results in our lives. So when we allow things to trap us and stop us, and because it's negative thinking or it's on woulda, coulda, shouldas, or if only, oh my gosh, it's like where do I throw up? Where's the garbage? Where's the barf bag, as I put it, right? I don't want any of that entering my life. My life is about fulfillment and creationism, and it's about, you know, doing the best I can to create the best possible results in everything that I put my heart and soul into. And that doesn't, I can't focus on negatives. I focus on positives. I focus on the positives. So don't allow that tension to occur. What is our personal, if you look at yourself and you say, what's my personal destiny? And boy, some of you today, this question is way over your head, right? You're going, I don't know what my personal destiny is. Well, the first place you got to start is we all have one because we all have unique gifts. And what happens to us, sometimes we rob ourselves of our own visions because we get into comparison mode. We start comparing ourselves with somebody else and we find ourselves coming up short for some reason, and then we allow that to rob us of who we are and what we're able to create in our lives. And that is very sad. It's a sadness in my heart when I hear people do comparisons. I just go, what does that have to do about anything? Well, you know, but our world is full of that, isn't it? I mean, we go out and we subscribe to People magazine so we can compare ourselves to the rich and famous and the Hollywood actresses and stuff. And it's really unbelievable how people read this stuff and then they get into a state of depression, or they watch these TV shows about 200 pairs of shoes that the Kardashians. I just heard that. I don't watch that silly show, but I mean, and they go, man, if I could only have 200, you know. And when I talk to people who watch these shows, I go, why do you watch it? And they go, well, it's just fun. I go, fun for what reason? And they go, well, you know, it's just I'll never live that lifestyle. I said, so what does that do to you to acknowledge that you'll never live that lifestyle? And they stop to think about it. I said, is it robbing you of joy in your life or a potential future? Is it feeling, do you feel less? You know, and it's really amazing. And I go, so why do you do that to yourself? Why would that bring you some joy? I mean, living through somebody else's life shouldn't bring you joy because it's not your life. Live your life to the fullest. That's where you find the most inherent joy that you ever will. Because the other, I believe, will bring you sadness. It will bring you depression. It will bring you down. So it's not about comparison. It's not about stepping into comparison. It's about every day of your life, you have control of that day of your life. So live it to its fullest. And what is that for you? You are a unique human being that has something incredible to contribute to this earth. So let's do it, right? And I love this statement. As someone once told me, if I fail to use them, if I fail to use my unique gifts and fully play out the part that I need in order to make a difference, I let down all of humanity. I love that. And I remember hearing one time in my life where it said, if your voice is not heard, you don't only fail to fulfill your destiny, you rob from all humanity. And that's a very impactful statement. And some of you may want to go, well, Mary Jo, wow, that's a great statement, but how do I communicate that to other people, right? How do you tactfully say that to somebody when you find somebody who's stuck? How do you say that? And what I love to do when I work with people, because I work with so many, is I love to look at people in my life to say, you know, one of the most impactful events in my life was when a friend of mine shared this with me. And that's when I tell them that. And it had so much impact on me, it screamed at me to say, you know what, no matter what is going on around me in life, no matter what's transpiring at any different level in my life, I need to live my life to its fullest. No excuses. I need to live. I need my voice to be heard, and that's what it caused me to do. So we all need to step into that. And that's that. It, as Janet puts in her book, she says, "When you follow your passions, you will love your life." But if we quash our passions, we never feel them. We have no to have a chance to love our life because we're quashing those passions. So passion and love are inextricably intertwined because they both arise from the heart. And she put in her book, she told us about the neuroscientist in a book, Born to Believe. It said, the brain is very happy when you're focused on what you love. Your brain is very happy when you focus on what you love. These are from neuroscientists. The more you focus on what you truly love and desire, the volume gets turned down on those parts of the limbic system where the destructive emotions of fear, anger, depression, and anxiety are controlled. This allows you to think more clearly. Isn't that great? So the more we focus on what we truly love and desire. So what's important for us to find out what is it we truly love and desire? Our passions are not our destiny, per se. They are the clues or keys to your purpose in life. Because destiny is truly a life's journey. Passions change and morph over time. It is why we all need to be open for change because our passions aren't going to stay the same. When you go through life, you and you have kids and you get married, your passions change over time. Your destiny is truly something that is the life's journey. So every time we find ourselves, you know, we want to stay in that positive emotions. We want to express our positive emotions. And when you think about what these neuroscience said about keeping us out of fear, anger, and depression, when you find yourself wallowing in fear, anger, and depression, the reverse is also true. We need to refocus back into what we love. We need to refocus on what we love. Refocus the energy on what we love. And what a shift that makes in terms of what we create in our life. So let's get into the discovery process because that's what we're here for. The passion test is about discovery, discovering our passions. You know, I'm here for a purpose, and that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Henceforth will I apply all my efforts to become the highest mountain of all, and I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy. Agmandino said that. Isn't that awesome? I love that idea of that. I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy. Wow. You know, sometimes today as I get closer and closer to 60 years old, I try to make my life more comfortable. And when I read this one, again, I understand comfort zone and all that stuff because I teach and train that, as you know. But when I read this, I said, oh, man, he hit me. And again, right smack in the head, you know. It's not about being comfortable, Mary Jo. It's about straining my potential until it cries out for mercy. Did that not hit me right between the eyes? I hope it hits you guys today on today's call as well. Because how many of us try to live comfortably? How many of us look for strain in our life? Probably not. But this is what we need to do. We need to really push ourselves. And this is about getting out of the comfort zone. It's about pushing ourselves and pushing ourselves and pushing ourselves. Strain your potential until it actually cries out for mercy. We get bogged down in the how-tos, the how to know more. How do I meet the right people? How do I get the right language? How do I get more money? How do I do? And he emphasized in this book, of course, it's never about the hows, but the what that's important. So what is important? Survey of the top successful people had only one thing in common. They all had fulfilled the five things that they felt were most necessary for their ideal life. So this is where we start building into the passion test. To make your list of top 10, 15 things that you would love to be, do, or have in your life. And then what you do is you actually limit them to 5. And we'll talk about that when we get into this chapter 4, taking the passion test. But that's basically the gist of what the passion test is about. It's about making a master list of 10 to 15 things that you would most love to be, do, or have in your life. And then going through a process that I'll teach you today, through, which comes out of the passion test book, on how to limit it down to 5. And sorting them in an incredible, simple, and unique process that she uses. And why is it important to do what you love? Because that's what the basic concept of enjoying life is. Do passion and enjoyment go hand in hand? Absolutely. Passion is the inner fire that propels you forward through that combination of love for what you are doing and the inner sense of purpose that comes from connecting to one's deepest passions. By the way, there's a typo in the outline if you guys want to get that under that part, C, 3C. It's supposed to be comes from instead of some form. It says comes from, connecting to one's deepest passions. Enjoyment arises from this combination of love and purposefulness. Wow, huge. The passion test is powerful because it's a system. It provides order, saves time, requires less energy, established procedure that produces results. So let's talk about taking the passion test. Okay, first of all, the biggest challenge in taking the passion test, now remember, this is about finding the 10 to 15 things, 10 to 15 things that you would love to be, do, or have in your life, then limiting them to the top 5. The biggest challenge is getting out of our own way. And she lays this foundation before she even gets into the test because so many of us want to play life small. We want to play life small. Why? Because here we go again, you don't want to strain your potential until it cries for mercy, right? I go back to Og Mandino. We don't want to push ourselves. We don't want to make our lives uncomfortable. So guess what? We're going to play safe. We're afraid of failure. Oh, fear. What does fear of failure create in your life? Failure. What you fear is becoming your number one reality in life. So get rid of fears. Many play safe since they can't see a way of manifesting it, so they tuck away the greatest concepts or greatest passions in their life, their things they want the most in their life. They pack it away because they go, I can't have it. I don't see how I'm going to manifest it. And this happens very much. What quadrant do you think this happens most for? The analyst quadrant is the toughest. The promoter quadrant is the easiest to be. Think big, because they think anything's possible. But the analyst quadrant, they want to analyze everything before they put it on a piece of paper, so they don't want to put it on a paper if they don't think it's possible to manifest it. So all this logic gets involved. That whole logic part of the brain just overrides everything else that happens in becoming passionate. So we want you to stop thinking small. You must think big when you do take the passion test. And she talked about when we contemplate big questions, we use our frontal lobes. Now, this is more about how our brain functions to alter the function of other parts of our brain, like reasoning and logic. And that's thinking of the people that play it safe in your life. If you think about people who play it safe, I can think of one because I'm married to him. I'm married to a man that plays it safe in his entire life. In fact, every time I mention something exciting or different to do, his first word out of his mouth is no. And it's not because he doesn't want to do it. It's because he hasn't had enough time. He needs lots of time to analyze it and think about it because he's in that heavy analyst quadrant. But he says no. Now, my husband, he might be a hero to me because I love him, but he's not a hero in my life. I don't look at his life and think, I would love to recreate that. Bull, not even a chance. We want to think of who are some heroes in your life, and you think, do you think they play life small? Are they playing life safe? Or are the heroes in your life the ones that go for the gusto in every moment? What does it feel like to be someone who is doing whatever it takes to live their dream, who is willing to face any challenge, jump through any hoops, go anywhere they have to in pursuit of their dearest desires? What does it feel like to be that person? Think about that. Place that in your heart and just think about it. Spend some time on that issue for yourself. That's what's going to make the difference for you. If you're going to play this passion test big and play this life big, that's what you need to do. So let's talk about example. So she laid out Jack Canfield. How many people know Jack Canfield? The Chicken Soup, right? Series? This is the same one and the same Jack Canfield. He took her passion test. And he wrote down his initial list of passions. He wrote down 15 things that he was passionate about. And, you know, when I read his 15 things, boy, I'm passionate about some of those. I know I'm sure surely passionate about number 15, having fun, and more fun, right? I'm passionate about that. That may not be somebody else on this call's passion, but I am passionate about having fun. I want to really enjoy my life, and having fun is a part of enjoying my life. But you can look at it, but look, notice on his list of passions, what does every single passion start with? And that's a mandatory requirement of putting your passion list together. Start with verbs. And after Jack went through his 15 and he went through the rest of the test, which we're about to walk through, this just gives you an idea of somebody going through the test. After his top five became number six, so you can circle these. Number six, number four on his list, number one, number two, and number 14. Okay? Those are the five that he after going through the test, he came up with those five. But then he noticed that number 13 was his sixth one on his list, so he knew it came out to be sixth most important. So he left knowing he was going to start what? Being a part of a spiritual leaders network. And sure enough, he started a transformational leadership council, and there's over 100 speakers in that now, and Janet Atwood, the author of this book, happens to be one of those. So what happens is you start with your five, but you eventually are going to pawn off and doing some of the other ones as well. But the idea is to get isolated into what are your passions in your life, what are you passionate about, and then start working on those. When you get clarity, when you want, what you want will show up in your life, and only to the extent that you are clear. This is another reason why clarity was so crucial in all that we heard from Tony Geary as well. Passion test guidelines. Okay, so let's walk through the guidelines. We got 10 minutes left, and I got 10 pages to go. We'll make it, I promise you. Step one. Okay, here we go. This is the passion test. So this is the guts of what's in this first part of the book. Step number one, make a list of your passions, i.e. those things you love the most. So you need to sit in a quiet space, right, and write a list of things that you love the most. What are most important for your happiness? What is in well-being? Play full out. In other words, it's about, what are the things that you most want to do, you most want to have, you most want to be in this life? Do be have. Work on all levels of do be have around this. And make a list of at least 10, if not 15, of those things that are most important for your happiness and well-being. And play full out. Make sure you distinguish. Passions are how you live your life. Goals are the things you choose to create in your life. So here's a distinction. Notice, being a millionaire is how you choose to live your life. I choose to live my life as a millionaire. Making $2 million per year is a goal. So, is a passion being a millionaire? Absolutely. Is a passion making $2 million a year? No, that's a goal. So make sure you distinguish those two categories, right? Passions is how you live your life. As Jack did with his list, again, each passion begins with a verb that expresses how you are living your life when your life is ideal. And here's some, if you need help to get going, here's a bunch of questions that she has in her book. What do you love to do? What kind of environment do you love to be in? What kind of people do you love to be around? What turns you on, excites you, gets you charged up? What are you good at? What do people compliment you on? What do you seem to do better than others? What are your unique gifts and talents? And beware always of the mind. Your mind will try to do what? Protect you. They're going to try to convince you to be safe here. Like, let's be safe. Let's not stretch ourselves too far. Let's be secure. And that's what's going to rob you. You don't want your security and your safety in your mind to rob you of your life's purpose. You don't want to make it less. Don't think of lesser, think of greater. Other guidelines that are crucial. Don't consult with anyone. This is all about you. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks in your world. It's about you working with you. If you're a married couple, don't take the test together. It's about you and your individualism. Take the test in one sitting. Don't start today and finish it tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday. Take it in one sitting. Take the test in a quiet setting without distractions. No phones, Go into a quiet place, take the test, and write short, clear sentences. Don't go on and on. And this isn't about writing your ideal day, right? Remember, we do that in Manatech, and that's like a page and a half. This is about short, concise sentences. What are you passionate about? What do you love to do? What are things that turn you on, that excite you? All right, so once you get your list of 15 down, and I suggest you get to 15. The more you get, the deeper you're going to dig to find them. But it has to be at least 10. She says never less than 10, up to 15. Now, that's step one. Everybody clear on that? No questions on that. Now let's talk about step two. Step two, you're going to come back to your list after a few hours or the next day. So in other words, this first part of the passion test is taken in one sitting. You don't get up and go around and wait and come back 2 hours to get the other 10 or 5 extra ones. That you do this in one sitting. But you're going to now separate from the time you make your list, you're going to separate by 3 hours to a full day time before you go to step two. Why is that? Clarity, crisp, separate yourself up so you stay out of confusion. Because we can get into confusion so easily, can't we? Confusion is a mechanism of resistance. Does everybody understand that? Whenever you find yourself in confusion, just stop and say to yourself, what is it here that I'm resisting? What is it here that I'm resisting? Just a little more insight. Confusion is just a mechanism of resistance. Okay, so now when you go back and you go over your list, this is what you do your second day or 4 hours, 5 hours later. You start with the top of your list. You have items 1 through 15 now. And you take number 1 and you go, if I had to choose between 1 and 2, which one would I choose? And you don't want to think about what God would think. You don't want to think about what your husband would think, your wife would think, your children would think, what people would think of me out in the world. You want to think about what you think about. This is only about you. So don't let what other people might think about you have any influence over how you do this test. So you look at number 1. Okay, if I had to choose 1 or 2, which one would I choose? And you go, okay, I'd choose 2. Then you discard, you leave 1 alone and you take 2 going forward. Now you compare 2 with 3. If I had to choose between 2 and 3, which one would I choose? You get this? And you go through the entire list the same way. So what happens when you get through 15 or whatever your list is? You're going to end up with 1. It's going to be the 1 that took precedence over every single other one because you discarded the other ones on the process of getting there. And it might end up to be number 14. It might end up to be your most important one. It might be 12. It might be 2. We don't know which one it's going to be. But when you compare each one of them, and you cannot shortcut this process, do not look at your list and go, hey, I don't have to do this because I know this is my number 1. Wrong. It's the self-questioning and the comparative process that will give you more insight to yourself. Be open for something different in your life than how you've defined yourself. Be open to hear. So you come to this with an open, no prejudice, no prejudgment, no just openness to hear. Okay, now once you get through that process, now you have a new number. Now you put this, the one that won out over every single other one, right, as you went through the process, you put at the top of the page. Now you got that. Number 1, this one went out. Now you go back to your list and you start over again. And you start with the one remain, whatever the ones there. Now you have 14 that are remaining, and you start with the top on the list. If I had to choose between this one and this one, which one would win? And then you take that one forward. And you take whichever wins in the next comparison, you take that one forward. And you do the same thing, and you do this 5 times over. 5 times over. And you end up weaning down to a list of the 5 most important. And this process in and of itself can take, I don't know, an hour. Could take you 2 hours. Depends on how challenging this is for you. But it's always about if I could be, do, or have 1 and never do 2, or if I could be 2 and never be, do 1, which one matters to me most? That's the language. Which one matters most? Saying they are equal is just another example of lack of clarity in your life, and you're not going to stay in a lack of clarity mode. This is about getting clarity. And most people find their impulse is most accurate, so go by impulse. Go by impulse. Because once you start allowing, oh, what will Sarah think, or what will my husband, or what would God, what does my Christian faith tell me, or what does this say? You start getting all, and then you start adding all this kind of, instead of doing it purely impulsive. Be honest. Don't worry if your choices are not what other people think. This is only about one thing, your passion and your happiness. Avoid the temptation to get one item on your list and say, that's what I just talked about. Don't be surprised if the choices you make change each time you go through the list, okay? Don't be surprised because it's incredible. You're just going deeper. And if you want to see other people's experiences, she even gave in the book, she gave www.passiontest.com/results. Okay, let's go to the next one, creating your passionate life. The person born, okay, so everybody got this? This is a process that takes you 2 days probably. Today, you sit down and you work through the 15, and then tomorrow come back, or 4 or 5 hours later come back and do the second step. Don't do this back-to-back. Separate it with at least 3 to 5 hours of time. Okay, now, next, creating your passionate life. Now you've got your 5 things that are most important to you. A person born with talent they were meant to use will find their greatest happiness in using it. Will our passions change? Of course, because, of course, we know, you know, our life changes around us. So passions will change over time. They're not going to stay the same because there's a lot of things that change in our life. Your passions were different before you got married than they were after you got married. They were different after you got married than when after you had children. So you can see all the things that change for you. Careers change our passions. But you put your intention on grows stronger in your life. Out of fear, people focus on what they don't want. Instead, imagine something you fear could happen as soon as you do that, hit cancel and shift your attention to the opposite. So you always want to, what? Get rid of fear in your life. Keep away from negative emotions, right? If you want to figure out what have you been putting your attention on, now that you have your 5 top passions listed, this is a great exercise. It's under 5D in your outline. List your 5 top passions on a scale of 0 to 10. Rate them. 0, you are not living it today at all, and 10, if you're fully living it. Those receiving the high scores are getting a lot of attention from you. The others are not. It's a great test for you to see where you're putting your attention and where you're not. Remember, what did she say the word attention was about? What we put our attention on is what we attract in our lives, right? So if you find something you have been giving a lot of attention to and it isn't working out, examine what you're focusing on, because sometimes you're putting a lot of attention on something, but you're focusing on the negative things rather than the greatness. You're coming from lack and scarcity instead of abundance and greatness. And that can cause you to self-destruct on that passion. So you want to change your attention. You want to have it on all the things you can do, not all the things you can't or won't. The attention is on the benefits, the blessings, the good fortune flowing in your life, and that's what it'll create. So you got to shift your attention, right? And she even says that one solution is, and some of you have heard this before, where you wear a rubber band on your hand, and don't do this with your mission bracelet, your orange mission bracelet, because you'll bust it, and it's not really a rubber band, even though it has some stretch. Get a thick rubber band and put it around your wrist, and every time that you think of something that's negative, or you think of something that's not creating what you want in your life, you snap the rubber band. So you stop it. It's like telling yourself, just stop it. Just stop it. She also suggests, here's another idea for you, under F, circle that, passion cards. Get 3x5 cards and write down your 5 passions on each of the cards, and at the bottom you want to put this or something better, and then you want to place those strategically around your house and around your living environment so that you see them frequently. Very much like we did with Vince Pacente. Remember when I did his work back in February when I came out of that networking convention for professional network marketers, and we had the gold dots. Same thing, that gold dot reflected what? Yeah, the big goal in your life, right? It reflected the big why in your life. Well, this is the same thing. It's about these passions are present in front of you all the time. So you make 3x5 cards with your passions on them. And then creating your markers. The last step of this process is, well, she has a vision board as well. That's it. But creating your markers is one, because every single time you have a passion, how do you know it's you're on the track to reach that passion? So what you do is you review and write down markers. What things would happen? In other words, what would life start looking like if I was making my way towards living that passion? So you come out with markers in your life that would be evidence of you achieving that passion, hitting that ultimate passion, living that passion, right? So that's what you do. You make markers. For each of your five passions, you set up markers that would be involved in that. Some of you, with respect to Manatech, if you know, one of the things was you want to live your life as a millionaire, what would be one of the markers? Well, one of the markers would be you'd reach national director, or you'd reach executive, or you reach presidential director. You start, you know, earning $6,000 a month from Manatech, or $10,000, whatever that is. That starts becoming, those would be some of your markers that you'd put into under being a living life as a millionaire, right? Right? And you know, there's more information. Ooh, I'm already past. There's great, much more information here about attention. Look at intention, attention in this paragraph 6 of the outline. So I want you to dig into all that information. It's great. It's about, you know, but I went over making those markers, making sure that you do the markers. And the last thing she said in here was about the vision board, making sure, and that's a dream board. We've done dream boards, but now when you get done with the passion test, and you run through all this, and you get your markers in place, and you get your 3x5 cards, then I want you to build a vision board again, anew, because now you're going to start seeing a different pictures. You're going to see different meaning in pictures out of magazines that you put on your vision board. And Lydia and I are doing this, so I'm hopeful and excited that all of you will participate in this as well. And she wrote, in the last chapter, in the first part of the book, she wrote the 7 keys to living life aligned with passion: commitment, clarity, attention, stay open, integrity, persistence, and follow your heart. So you can read over those as well and understand those are critically important for us to live our lives with passion. And I'm going to finish with a quote out of the book that says, "Passion has the power to transform your life. When you discover your deepest passions, you connect with the essence of who you are. Living life aligned with your passions, your personal destiny unfolds naturally and effortlessly." So we can really look at our life and say, is our life really flowing naturally and effortlessly? Or do we continue to come up with conflicts everywhere, which way, and all these question marks and all this confusion? What, you know, what is that for you? And that's where we want to sit back and say, wow, let me do the discovery work first. Put in place the mechanisms that will help guide me to truly live a passionate life, right? All right, people, that's all. Anyone have any questions? Do you guys want me to, and then answer too if you want me to go through part 2 of the book. If you want me to do part 2 next week, I can do that. I think this is a great exercise for everybody.
Let's do part 2.
Okay, you're on. Okay. Did you enjoy this today?
Immensely.
Yeah, you think this will help, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this game plan. For next Monday, I will do part 2 of the book, but I'm going to ask from you guys, the first 10 minutes or so or 15 minutes of the call, I really want to get some shares, live shares from those of you who step up and do the passion test in the next few days. So if you promise me and commit to that, that's terrific, because I want to hear from you guys of what the experience was, what did you discover. We'll ask a few questions. I just want shares. Is that good for everybody?
Yes, Mary Jo. This is Diane. You started saying, I'm at work and I'm listening to you, and it's intention, number 1. Attention is number 2. What was number 3?
No tension.
Tension, okay, great.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Intention,
yeah.
Attention, and 3 is no tension. Great. Great, great, great. All right, everybody. Love you all. Have a great week. Let's kick off Business Period 9 with a burst of energy, and let's get clarity around our passions, and we'll move forward in a great way. Okay, everybody. Love you all. Talk to you next Monday.
Mary Jo, how do I get in touch with Lydia?
How do you get in touch with Lydia?
This is Doretta. I need to get back on. This is incredible. Unbelievable. But
yeah.
There's so much I don't know. I've been out of the loop for a while. I've been in college. So I'm done. I'm back on.
We're excited to have you back on. Just send her an email. You have her email address?
No, I don't have anything. But guess what? I'm going to Branson. It is all in place.
You bet, girl. Oh, you'll love it. I can't wait to see you there. Yeah.
It just touched my heart. Your relationship with your husband is exactly what mine is.
I'm finding out that's more true than I ever thought.
Unbelievable. But see, yeah. Always yeah. wrong because I'm not like him. But you played an incredibly important piece. We can be so different, and now I understand. He always says no. We can't.
Yep.
There's no time.
Right.
There's no money. But for me, I just identify with you. Onward. Ho!
Amen, girl. Absolutely. You're not going to let them stop you. And if you don't understand, you know, what was a huge blessing to me was when I got involved in the personality tests and I understood different personality quadrants, and I came back home after that weekend of that incredible revelation, and it was like, wow, I get it. I mean, I got it. I understood why my husband threw the ham away after our Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, I get it. It didn't fit in the refrigerator. His life, everything has to fit, and it didn't fit. So he threw it away. Now, it blew me away. But you know what? After that, understanding personality quadrants, I started seeing who he was and understanding he was never going to be anything like me, and I was never going to be anything like him. So we have our similarities that are limited to a few things that we really love together, and we're good at that. But you know what? We support each other in incredible ways because we are so different. So we, you know, it's just acknowledging the beauty that you do have instead of focusing on the things that are so dramatically different. And that's where we go with life. So love it. Glad that this is giving you insight. Any way I can support you, that's what I'm here to do. Okay, you guys, great. So love you all. Have a great week and welcome back. And I'll see a bunch of you in Branson, hopefully. Talk to you next Monday.